Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
The laziest hour of your day. It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
You listen to KFC Radio.
What's up, you mutts? It's another edition of Mail Time. It's me and Super Producer BC. And, you know, it's been an interesting couple weeks, really like an interesting couple months as far as like content at Barstool and really content on the internet the past like few months. And I've been getting more into the gaming world, like just keeping an eye more on the gaming world. And the two things that jumped out at me, like, so Dr. Disrespect, he's just on a new platform.
Yeah, went to YouTube. And free agent.
We don't know what happened.
I have not seen anything. I cannot believe that the internet can keep a secret, but it seems like we're just never going to find out what happened.
That to me though says that all the rumors that it was like some salacious shit. If YouTube is just letting him stream, it just had to be like he was doing Twitch dirty, like he was negotiating behind their back. Or
I do feel like Twitch is a little, they're trying to keep it a little bit cleaner, I think, because I think that their audience is like super young. I've heard Smitty, I think Smitty doesn't curse on the stream.
Yeah.
Like it's not like the end of the world if somebody curses, but I think he actively tries not to. Yeah. So I think that they have slightly, and I know because some people do the just chatting, where they just literally like sit in their Discord feed and people send them videos, and sometimes people send like porn. And if that happens, if you're like scrolling through, even though you didn't like intentionally post nudity, like you're in big trouble.
But okay, that's fine. That's just like Twitch's rules. If Dr. Disrespect didn't want to follow them, fine, he can leave. But for him to be like kicked off and permanently banned.
I'm just saying that Twitch has like a lower tolerance for that, where YouTube might be like, this is fine. So it doesn't have to necessarily be like super. But you're right. The point is, it can't be super salacious. It can't he's getting accused of rape.
When people were talking about, yeah, the amount of money that Dr. Disrespect brought in and how much money Twitch was willing to just give up on, I was thinking you had to fucking murder someone. I mean, when there was talk that like, oh, he cheated on his wife, so that's why. It's like, that's just not how the world works. And I can tell you that from personal experience. Like, people might not like it, but that is it's a personal thing that you might not know anything about. You don't know the reasons behind, and nobody loses their job or people won't give up on bajillions of dollars worth of streams because of that. But you know, when I heard some of the shit that went on, like see some of the money that goes on with some of these guys, I was thinking it's gotta be, you know, he killed somebody, or it was just a business thing, like he did you totally dirty and was like, you know, trying to cash my Twitch checks while I'm also over here doing YouTube and I'm also over here doing, you know, whatever else.
Right. Or maybe he was on his way to YouTube, like a little WWF, WCW. They stole the belt from him, the Montreal screw job. You know, they were like, we're gonna get rid of you before you get rid of us.
I mean, if they were smart, like they should be all like playing together in a way. That would be awesome if Twitch and YouTube had some sort of like, you know, let's build up the hype and
it's somebody's really got to do that. Some of the new content people really have to do that. Like, we have to start doing works because everybody accuses Barstool of that. Like, oh, this is all for content. These people aren't really like fighting. I mean, it's like usually none of the fights at Barstool are like all that serious, but that's why they are real, because it's like, this is actually not that big of a deal.
Right.
But like somebody somewhere has to start, I guess. I mean, like the Pauls probably do that. The YouTubers probably do that. The drama.
YouTube definitely manufacture some beef. But even that, it like, you know, it might start that way and then it kind of gets real. You know, I'm sure on some level, KSI and Logan Paul were like, let's fucking, we'll fight and we'll make millions. And then along the way during the shit talk and everything, it gets a little serious And it's like, oh, well, now I really don't like that guy. And
then, boxing, you know, has always kind of been that too, where you like, you usually like dap it up and you respect each other as fighters, but they were like, that doesn't really do any good in a press conference. You have to talk shit.
Well, and then even after the fact, you know, Logan, who I think Logan Paul is like, you know, I think he's the best at this shit. I think he's
This dude.
I do. I love him. I think, because I think he's got the YouTube persona and mentality with a little bit more of the real world business side. And then he's just got like, you know, he can talk and he's got like the gift of it all. But I think he was kind of like, all right, like we could be cool. Like it's all good. And that's when ASI was like, no, I don't fucking like you. And even that, I'm like, you know what would have been smart? Like, is if he did like him and he just said that and doubled down on it. Like,
right.
Get going. I mean, you know, we've seen it a million times. We've seen it with rap music. We've seen it in entertainment. Like when there's beef, it sells. Mm-hmm. And I would love to get to a point in my career where like we could manufacture that shit. Like once you've done it, like myself and Barstool has always prided ourselves on being real. So like faking it isn't like cool, but there's a difference between faking it and like manufacturing it. Like, like if you get to the point, I've written every blog I can write. I've done every podcast topic. I've proven like who I am on the internet. I would love to get to a point now where it's like, now like my next level would be like the galaxy brain shit would be like, let me try to orchestrate this shit. Let me try to, you know, like create a whole different, you know, way to make money or whatever. Cause that's where it's like next level shit where you're the puppeteer, you know,
it's hard to do though, because like when other people try and do it, people like you can usually sniff it out. Yeah. Like people who are connoisseurs of the internet and always looking and trying, we don't want to get duped. We don't want to get faked. Like, it's just so funny how certain videos can come out and you'll be like, I don't really know why, but I know this is fake.
Well, bro, how about the people who didn't understand Pat McAfee's wrestling bits with, I don't even know the guy's name from NXT, but I mean, those were awesome wrestling works. They were great promos for wrestling. And I guess so good that they duped the average viewer.
But that might be the wrestling fans in us too, where we're like, we know that that's wrestling.
When you grow up, like we listen to rap music, so we know about like the beef. We watch wrestling. We're a product of the internet. Like you have all of that come together. And that means like you have an eye for this shit. Whereas other people are just like, I'm here to be entertained. And they, you know, they want to believe in something, so they do. But that was the beginning of Pat McAfee's true wrestling career. I think he booked a match now against that dude. And I mean, like, Pat's gonna have a finisher where he kicks you with his leg, and it's gonna be awesome. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like he's, you know, like he's gonna have. I mean, it wasn't like a finisher move, but I remember the Undertaker always had his big boot. You know, like Pat McAfee, known for punting, is going to punt your head as his finisher, and it's going to be fucking dope. Dude. And this was the beginning of it where we saw him on the mic and we saw him start to mix it up physically. And then he kicked that guy. And it's like, dude, McAfee's now a wrestler.
And it's so Pat McAfee, before I even knew he was into wrestling, like as soon as I found out about that, I was like, oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. This makes perfect sense. He would have been the guy if like he didn't have just so much success, if he could have stuck around with Barstool, I think like we would have had discussions about that. Like he would have been like, because he wants the problem is he's too good and is able to make it in the WWE. We needed him to like be not as good that he could come and just love WWE and then start that at Barstool and like start writing the storylines for us.
The best thing for Barstool Sports is when you find talented people who are great enough to get just to the level of, I don't need Barstool anymore. Right. That's where you want to keep them. You know, that's like the business behind it is like, and it's not like anybody actively holds you back, but when Dave is always like, I want everybody here to be a star. He does. He wants you to be a star, like just beneath him though, where it's like, you know, you still need like Pat just didn't need the platform as much as, you know, he to put up with some of the other things he didn't like about it. So he moved on. And I mean, that's a dude who I remember, I didn't really know about him. And then like when I knew of him, but I didn't know about him as like an internet personality. And I took like one look at him when he came to Barstool and I was like, this dude's going to be bigger than everybody here. Like, come on. And it's just a matter of like, cause he's nice. He's charismatic. He's obviously just like talented and has a bunch of connections now. But when you look at Pat and the way he talks and acts, when you look at Jared Karavis and the way he talks and acts, it's like, this is a dude who grew up listening to wrestlers on the mic, and they are now like employing it. And they do it when it's like go time on the camera, but they also just do it like in their everyday personas and personalities that they don't even like realize, I bet. So, I mean, that to me is like, that's probably when you become, you know, a true producer, executive producer, where you run a network, where you own a channel or something, where it's like, you know, you start to maybe orchestrate some of these things and like pit people against each other, try to, it's such a, you know, realness is so important, but if you can somehow manufacture it, which kind of goes in the face of that, you know what I mean? It's got to happen. Organic is the best thing in the world for content creators. But if you can somehow kind of encourage that organic vibe, then, you know, you've reached it. But
if we ever go this direction, remind me, we got to come back and delete this episode, because then it's just going to be like, people are going to post this and be like, dude, they literally planned this. Or maybe we leave it up for that. Like, if we do this like 10 years from now, I want people to find this video and be like, they knew they were going to plan it the whole time. Right.
It's a two-man operation until we're dead. That's really what it comes down to. So we've been doing, and it's not, I mean, obviously Feidelberg and Nick, and it's more than that, but you know, when,
oh yeah, KSC Radio is like a big team.
But when we first started, like, I put up the blog For Sure Not, you were doing some behind the scenes shit. And then, you know, we start the podcast, eventually you come on full time. It's always just been like the two of us, like, stumbling our way through trying to make it with just one simple goal of avoiding a regular life. That's really all it is. And that's the only motivation. Like, if I was one of these people who came out of Barstool fresh out of school, I don't know if I would have, I don't know if I would still have withstood.
Oh yeah. That reminds me of, we got to get Brianna on, because she posted something like, you can't hurt me. The Barstool Instagram posts my videos once a week. She's like, I'm unfazable because of just the sheer, but you know, she's like an example of like somebody young and coming out. Like, you got a lot of praise early on to like keep you going. You got some hate, but it's like, imagine just being like 22 years old and just getting barraged by hate.
Yeah. I was saying more that like, I got enough taste of what life would be without internet personality, that as bad as it can get with hate and with stress and with the spotlight, if you're lucky enough to get it, and juggling, you know, your internet life with your real life, it all is better than living, you know, a cube life. And
because it's like 10 hours, it's like commute, 8 hours commute, like, of,
it's just non
dreary. Yeah.
It's definitely, the difference between like the bad of each life is very different. Like, the bad part of internet life for me is like catastrophic. It's like, you know, problems in my personal life, like self-esteem shit, like trying to learn how to like deal with haters. When you're not really famous, when you are not, when you don't really make it, I've always said this, but I feel like more so than ever, like, when, if you don't make it to the point that you have a lot of money and enough love to balance out people being assholes to you, it's awful. It's terrible. Let me tell you from personal experience, when you're in that middle ground, it sucks. So that, the bad of this side of life is more like, it's more, what's it? I guess it's kind of like heightened and like strong, I guess. Like, whereas the bad of the boring life is just a dull, constant, like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, like, a lack of purpose is kind of worse than just like, boy, like, people fucking hate, people are nasty, this game is not for the weak, you know, that sort of, they're two very different types of a struggle. But I would pick the one that's at least, you know, at least there's like feeling and emotion and cause and effect and like a fight and a battle going on.
And I think, you know, you establish yourself a little bit as like, there's like a unique point to it where you're like, you're not just one
of a billion.
Cog in a huge machine. Yeah. Like everybody does this.
Like a number.
You at least have something different.
Yeah. So like, I did that for about like, I did it from like 07 to 11. And that was enough for me to get like a taste of like, can't do it. And so even now, like all these years removed from it, it's still always the focus is always like, well, you know, it's better than that. And you can't go back to that. But the latest example in our long line here of attempts at content is 1 Minute Man. And I feel like if you're listening to Mail Time, you were one of the OGs who have been following me in BC for a while. So like, you know it all, but 1 Minute Man is by far our most successful attempt at content, probably since KFC Radio. And even by some metrics, you could say, if I were to keep up at this pace, this might be like the one thing that, really stands out. But we've more so than anybody at Barstool, and maybe kind of like the only people in a way, have done like trial and error. You know, we've tried a lot, failed a lot, come up with some stuff, abandoned some stuff, rebooted some stuff. You know, Dave is always just like done what Dave does. PMT had like, boom, PMT, that's all I got to worry about. And then, definitely like there's a lot of people at Barstool who try new things. But as far as the OG people and like the major players, we've had like the most failure. We've had the most attempts, all that kind of shit. But 1 Minute Man has been like a fucking lightning rod, to say the least. And it's what Brianna said about Instagram. I used to think my judgment of all the different platforms was kind of like Twitter is the worst. Like Reddit could be. Reddit's like one or the other, like the worst or like the best. And Instagram was always like nice. It was always just kind of like, we're here for like fat asses and puppies and satisfying videos. And like, it was mindless. And then somewhere along the lines, or maybe it was always this way, and I just hadn't tapped into a big Instagram audience yet. But Instagram is like the nastiest motherfuckers out there.
Yeah. Well, I think the internet has reclaimed Instagram, because I think for a while it wasn't the biggest, and now for a little while now it has been the biggest. I mean, I guess Facebook is technically bigger, but when we're talking like young people and content creators and that's where people now realize that that's where they can make their voice heard the most. Mm-hmm. I still, the thing I hate about Instagram is it just lets people like piggyback on, well, I hate Twitter more for this, that like the replies, you don't have any control over it, but on Instagram you jump into like whatever the biggest post is, and then you can kind of like, push your own agenda. But
yeah, like, I mean, every single post I put up on Instagram for 1 Minute Man, the top comment is like, you cheated on your pregnant wife, and it gets upvoted. And that's just like at the top every single time. And that just like breeds, everybody's going to know that and continue to do it. And they get their dopamine rush from upvotes. So they're going to continue to do it. But
my point is just like that, like the internet is a terrible place where people like get off on hating on things and winning the battle by like
right here
ethering you. I don't think that Instagram was always that way, but now because all the attention is on Instagram, where it's like you can become a Instagram star, like YouTube. Yeah. Was like making stars, like early 2010s, Twitter was making stars, and it still is to some degree. But now Instagram is like, and especially where you create content, like, I'm sure maybe like IG models get some hate, but it's just like, I don't know, if she shows a picture of her ass, you could probably like call her a slut, and that's about it. It's probably like not a lot of necessarily positivity there. But when you are in your game,
yeah.
Talking, making points, they want to be like, yeah, well, fuck you. Apparently that's what they want to do on Instagram.
It takes a lot for me to really even like address or like examine the hate. Like, listen, anybody on the internet, period, who tells you there's one person on the entire internet, is John Feidelberg. Anybody else on the internet who says, I don't look at comments, I don't see the replies, I don't see whatever the form of feedback is, they are a liar. Anybody who says, I see it and I don't care, they are a liar. You do care, because it's fucking human goddamn nature to say that you don't care about people liking you or disliking you is fucking insanity. I mean, you want women or women or men to like you. You want to have sex with them. You want to have friends. You want to be popular. You would love to win an election if you could have people choose you. I mean, it's just what people want. So to say that you don't care is like just a blatant lie. Where I think you need to live is you don't let it affect what you do. And even that, a lot of people say, and I don't think that's true either. Like, I think, you know, there's successful people who are be like, I'm not going to touch that topic, or I'm not going to say that because I don't want to deal with the backlash. Now,
why a good strategy?
but I mean, yes and no. It's like, if you think to yourself, I actually don't want to touch that topic because of the hate, fine. Mm-hmm. If you're saying, I would love to comment on that, I got opinions, I got to get off, but I can't, or I shouldn't because of the backlash. Well, that's the problem. If you are just content talking like, you know, easy breezy topics and whatever, fine. But if you're not content with that and you're letting the hate stop you, it's like, what are you even doing in this game then? You know what I mean? Like, it's like you want to be a boxer and you don't want to get punched. Like, it's just part of the fucking game. Where, so like, I mean, at least that is for me, where it's like, I see these topics, I see news, I see headlines, I see opinions, and there is something like inside of me, I can't shut my fucking mouth. I have to say it. I have to get it off my chest. It honestly is partially my therapy in a way. Like, the podcast is like, if I didn't get some of these thoughts off in a forum where we at least for the most part acknowledge this is a joke or a satire or an attempt to entertain. So I can just say like, fuck that or fuck, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. If I couldn't get that off, I'd probably be one of these fucking lunatics, you know, getting caught on camera, having a meltdown in public at a store, you know, like I need to.
That's what Barstool's always been. Now, I mean, like, There's a whole array of hate that you get in the comments. But, and so it's like, if they don't like your personal life, fine. I mean, like, I don't know what we're going to do about that. That is what it is. Like, if you don't like you personally, and if somebody just wants to be like, this isn't funny. It's like, okay, fine. You know, like we would say, you know, Bill Simmons isn't funny, or like Dude Perfect isn't funny. You know, it's like, yeah, all right, people are going to have different opinions on that. But I really see these as it's funny because the word vlog has been taken to mean here is like a 10-minute scene of like what I'm doing and transitions and blah blah blah. But the word comes from video blog mashed together. I think that these are the video versions of what Barstool was in 2010, where it was like, this is one dude giving his opinion. And you had to deal with hate there too. Like, I remember when you used to just write, but then you would like occasionally post a picture of yourself and people were like, I fucking hate this dude now. It's like once there's like a person associated with it. So it's like Instagram, you can't not really do that.
You know what it is? It really is. As you give more and more, there's more and more opportunity to hate.
More and more reasons. Yeah.
When you are an anonymous writer and all it is words, especially like I still do feel like my strongest suit was writing. And like, it's all good. You like that. I like your opinions. You're fine. All of a sudden you see a picture. And it's like, oh, I don't like his face. I don't like his hair. I don't like the way he dresses. I don't like that. You see me do the combine. And it's like, I don't like that you're talking about sports anymore when you're not athletics. And now I don't like that. Right. I let you in on, you know, my personal life. And you find out that, like, my marriage was fucked up. You don't like that. The more real estate you give people, the more they will fucking hate.
Yeah. Well, it's die a hero or live to see yourself become the villain. Like, right. If you just keep doing this long enough, there, you know, you'll find more and more people that don't like you.
Right, which is a shitty thought for anybody like doing internet content. But I think it also kind of comes back around then, though. Like there was that tweet from Ninja in like, what, 2000?
Yeah, it was a while ago, right? 11, I want to say?
Yeah, I think 2011. Ninja, who's, you know, the most popular mainstream, at least gamer of all time, his tweet said like, wow, I got 600 viewers tonight. Pretty cool. And
super excited for 600.
What did I say?
Yeah, I know. Just super excited for 600. Like,
and there's the Lin-Manuel Miranda tweet, like, I'm writing this little show called Hamilton. Like, I think it's going to be pretty cool. And you see that, like, the more you give, like, the bigger you can.
There was when Lord was promoting Royals on, like, she was like, check out my SoundCloud, please, guys. She had, like, 300 followers on Twitter. And then it's just, like, wins a Grammy.
Right. So, like, you know, there's the two sides to it where it's, like, more time and exposure can lead to, you know, they're going to hate you. But it also obviously is, like, that's how – unless you are lucky enough to be an overnight sensation, it is, you know, more time is what you need. I bet you can kind of graph it where it's like, you know, time plus exposure equals more success until you get overexposed and then you take a hit. And then it's what you do from there where I think like you're really yeah. going
to, but your it's, what you have to decide is how you measure success. Like, is it, approval? Is it praise? I think what you're finding now in the internet.
That's how you fucking, you know, that's how you.
But I think that that's basically the only way to measure it because the internet, I think, overexposes everybody. Like, I really think that, you know, when you were saying that it's when you don't have that level of success, that true level that you think has been attained, I bet you'd find that the people that you think have achieved that are also thinking like, I think the haters just always stick out. Mm-hmm. So when you see like, oh yeah, this guy gets hated on a lot, but he's made it, he's set. I bet that guy is probably like, I don't know. I don't really like, this still sort of sucks that like, I get hated on. And there's probably people below you that are like, yeah, KFC gets hated on, but he's made it. He's good. It's just all perspective, you know?
I think the idea of overexposure is like, it's an important one. But I think it's also like cowardly. It's like I could have just wrote blogs, you know, and I probably would just have always been like safe and well-liked. Because if I look at my career, the only time that I was like consensus to be like well-liked and loved was when I was just writing. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you got to keep going. You got to like, what's next? Blog, podcast are next. What's after that? Video content. Like, got to keep going. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to stay in place. Now, I mean, I guess you have to weigh whether it's like, will this be more detrimental than it will be beneficial? And then in that case, you have to make your choice. But I would always rather garner more hate while gaining more money and more exposure and more followers and more success.
And also, like, that is just what you've always done. Like, I wouldn't take someone like Ninja and be like, dude, you should do a podcast. And one of the topics we should touch on is coronavirus. Like, that guy doesn't need to be overexposed. Mm-hmm. He should probably stick to gaming. You're but, the best career path here.
In your lane. But like, if while he's streaming, Ninja wanted to start talking about certain shit, like, yeah, fucking go, man. Because you want to just play Fortnite, or is there a chance? And maybe not. Maybe Ninja's not the right guy. But maybe there's someone who's like, I can play video games, but I could also end up being like a fucking host of a... Oh, I could be like Ryan Seacrest or some shit because I got the gift of gab here. So I'm going to start talking about. But
I'm just saying I wouldn't blame somebody who didn't make their career off of like just talking about any and everything. Mm-hmm. Like it would be like you stopping what has made you successful. Because there's plenty of times where I'm like, maybe we should just like rest on our laurels a little bit. Maybe we should rein it back in. And But that's the opposite of what has gotten you here. So like gaming has gotten Ninja there. So I could just understand that conversation. I get what you're saying where it's just like, but he shouldn't do it either. But like we're talking about like say first person shooters come under fire and people are like, this is promoting violence. If I were Ninja, I'd be like, listen, I'm going to keep playing Fortnite. Right. This is what's got me here. I understand. And, you know, maybe I can be a voice of reason, but I'm not going to abandon what got me here. This is what's got you here. Just like commenting on everything. That's what you built your career on.
I got it right here. This is it. The internet for, I feel like we're talking much about ourselves here because that's what we know best. But you know, in the interest of people, it's not just like gushing about ourselves here because it kind of applies to all like content and all the internet. The internet game and really life is the shift in baseball. And I remember thinking, you know, why don't you just like hit opposite field, man? Like just lay down a bunt, get on base, go oppo with it and slap a single. And there are home run hitters who are like, that's not what I do. That's not why I'm here. The reason why they're shifting against me is because I fucking mash balls and I pull them down the line over the fucking fence. And sometimes I'm going to hit it, you know, into a, what would be like a single, but you knew to put a guy in the middle of fucking right field. So it's a, you know, it's just an easy put out, but I'm going to keep doing what I did to get here. Now, I do think there's an interesting, like to just put your head in the sand and be ignorant of it, I think is stupid too. But it's like, you know, in my case, Erica Nardini always calls me mouthy, you know? I can't do it without being mouthy. The reason why the internet's putting the shift on me and they're talking shit back, they're talking shit back, they're weaponizing my missteps, they're exploiting my weaknesses. Like, I know, like when Bill Simmons became a video personality, and everyone was like, you're not good at this, you're a good writer. I know there's definitely an element of that with me where I know that, like, whatever it is, my accent, my vocabulary, my look, some people are like, yeah, I don't like that guy. I'm a New Yorker, whatever it is. I'm aware of that, but I can't like cater to that, you know? Now I can, you know, I think there are certain opportunities where you should go opposite field, you know? It's like, now's not the time to just be like the loudmouth, pig-headed idiot. But overall, I'm just going to keep doing that. I mean, that's what we're seeing with One Minute Man, where it's like, you know, for every one, I see someone say, you know, you cheated on your wife and it gets a few thousand votes. And you show me that it got 200,000 likes. It's like, you just have to look at the positives because, and this is kind of like my message to people, anybody who's like trying to do content, is like, if you don't look at the positives, you will absolutely just get weighed down by the negatives in the internet, in life. Like, you have to at least be able to take away, there has to be more positives than negative. Because if there is more negative, then it's probably not working, right? Like, then it is probably an exercise in futility where it's like, this is not going to work. But I see people, the comments and the hate on Instagram got so intense that people who do like me, like friends of mine in real life were asking me, fans of mine who do like me were asking me, like, what is this all about? And like, are you going to switch up what you do? And I was like, if I let that stop me, like, then what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. And the problem is because those are just not the metrics we go by. Like I said that, maybe we were saying this before we got on there, like the nature of Barstool is like shit talking. So it's like comments do, like, you take them into consideration, but all the other stuff outweighs them. Like, and you know, like everybody jumped on and said, oh, well, of course you get a lot of views. You're on like the Barstool Instagram. But it's like, the point is, it's for original content, it's getting more views than all the other videos. You know, it's like, obviously a viral video is going to do really well, but
I haven't heard that one yet. It's like, yes, guess what though, bro? Like a very integral part in growing that account was all the work I've been doing for the past fucking decade. So now I'm using it. You know, right. I mean, that's crazy to me.
But people want to say like, oh, the autoplay. And it's like, well, not every video gets 4 million views. You know, 1 Minute Man is hitting 4 million, 5 million views. Not every video on the Instagram is getting that. It was the same thing with like the Facebook stuff when we were doing Facebook rants, which was basically just 1 Minute Man back then. You know, it's like when the algorithm or the part of the game is in favor of you, that's, you take advantage of it, you do it, and you make content in the form that's currently working.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, it's like the algorithm on Facebook worked a few years ago, and then they switched up the game and like I stopped doing it. And then, you know, speaking to the gatekeeper of Instagram, our boy Littlefinger Gaz, was explaining that like he thinks the future of Instagram will be more original content, because as we're seeing, like every platform is just going to crack down on stealing content and like just repurposing viral videos and other people's work. So you have to create your own. So, you know, he came to me and brought that up and said, like, I think 1 Minute Man from, you know, what was that, 2017 would work again. And like, it does. And, you know, yeah, I mean, sure. I don't want to just keep going on and on about ourselves here, but it is like, there is just so much, I think it's so foreign to people to understand hate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I joke about being Bane, it's like I am molded by this shit, and I am like a hater, you know, I'm a hater of the year. But I also like I don't ever actually really very rarely do I mean it like truly personally. Like if I read a headline and I react to it and I'm like, ah, fuck that person, or you know, that guy's stupid, or he did it wrong. If I ever, you know, it's just like that's my gut shot reaction opinion on it, but it really isn't ever rooted in like deep hate. And I think maybe that's how I take it when I receive it personally. It's like, ah, no, that's just some fucking asshole who's just reacting to me. Like, it is what it is.
I like it when there is like a very specific thing, like the Shapiro video we posted today. This is not like an abstract topic. This is like you're talking about a guy who has fans.
Yeah.
And now people are like, well, fuck you. I hate you. It's just like, okay, like you like Ben Shapiro. Like, that's cool. I have no problem with that.
I don't know much about Ben Shapiro. And I posted a video that was like before the Ben Shapiro video came out. I just posted a little clip joking around about how my cleaning lady was walking around the house while I was yelling about wet ass pussy. And somebody said to me, this was my least favorite video yet. I was like, the video's not out yet.
Which just shows that it's like, I'm a Ben Shapiro fan.
Yeah, it's also cool. 'Cause it's like, we've also gotten the benefit of that for so many years where people just blindly like us. So you know, it's like when people ask me like, how can I deal with it? It's like, I've been benefiting from basically this system for a decade. And if I got to deal with a little bit of the negative side of it, like, so fucking be it. You know, it can't always be gravy, at least the way I do it. If you really manage your career right and you talk about certain things in certain ways, you really probably can see almost all good with no bad. But for me, the way I do it, where it's just going to be like, I want to talk shit. I want to fight a little bit. I want to mix it up. It's like, you know, you can't get in a scrap and not get beat up a little bit, you know? Yeah. And hopefully at the end of the day, you do more damage than you take. And really, ultimately, it'll be a lot easier if I get rich. You know, it's like, then I can just say, then it gets to the point where it's like, I actually don't care. I do care. I wish that I posted those videos.
So like,
everybody's reaction was like, this is so funny and we really like you. It's not the case, but there's enough good reaction that I can at least ride it out till I do have money, and then I don't fucking care.
Right. But I mean, like, this is all working towards that, right? Like, you probably wouldn't do this if this was like underperforming. Like, if it got less views than every other Instagram.
Post myself to this shit for no benefit? Of course.
So it's like you look and you say, okay, Instagram, like the Barstool Instagram needs this. And like, I don't know what people, maybe do people just think that the two of us are in charge? That like it's just us and we just decide what goes on the Instagram, and it's just like it's working. It's performing well. So that's why we keep posting them.
I also I think I have some sort of defense mechanism in my life that I have now convinced myself that like living through this is why I asked this question. Nobody likes coronavirus. Pandemic's a disaster.
You can compare yourself to coronavirus.
Talking about death and unemployment and really terrible things. And if you could say, I wish this didn't happen, of course, everybody in the world, minus like Bill Gates, would say, let's not do this. But I think there's something interesting and intriguing about having lived through it, where like you got to see humanity at like its worst in a way, you know? And on like a personal level, everything that happened with me with my marriage and then with things at Barstool all being public, it's like, I guess I just kind of pride myself on like, I went through the fucking fire, you know, and I learned like what kind of person I am in the face of adversity. I learned what kind of person I am when, you know, can I turn the other cheek? And even like on a very small level with the internet hate, it's like, you know, part of me thinks it would be like boring to be, and this is why I say it's a defense mechanism, because it's probably not to prove you down. But part of me thinks it would be boring to just be on the internet and be like, hey, everybody's okay with you, you know? I mean, yes, if everybody loved you, that's when you're like superstar status. But if the alternative is like everyone's just kind of like indifferent towards you, I think I'd rather the extremes, where it's like, I got some people who fucking ride with me. I got some people who fucking hate me. And we'll see like what I'm made of as far as a blogger and a radio host and all that shit. And I think that's kind of where we're at in life as well. Like, you know, what are you made of when the chips are really down? I think we're seeing a lot of people suck. I think we're seeing a lot of people like were not up to the challenge and didn't rise to the occasion. I really believe, and I've said this a couple times, so I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I want someone who's smarter than me, some psychologist, somebody who can really break down human behavior and do it without an agenda. I don't want it to be right or left. I don't want it to be, you know, fear mongering.
This can't happen.
I know.
Well, just the way you set this up, I don't even know what it is yet, but it can't happen.
I know. I wish it could be, you know, I'm not some like fear mongering corona, like hypochondria, but I'm not a Clay Travis. Like, I don't give a fuck about this thing. I think the masks reaction is the most interesting and baffling thing that I've seen from humans in my time on the planet Earth. I really believe it. Like, because there have been more extreme things, like in the face of like terrorism and stuff like that, where you see how people react. But that kind of the reaction from some people in extreme is warranted. Mm. The reaction to masks is so weird to me. Like, the latest video I saw was this dude at a fucking at a grocery store just going off on people wearing masks, to the point that his two sons, who were like teenagers, had to like get in front of him, like, hold him back, like, push him back, like, dad, come on, let's leave. And he's like, you fucking pussies, you look like you have a fucking doily from your mom's house on your face. And his own sons are like embarrassed to try to hold him back to stop from getting in a fist fight at a grocery store. And I'm just like, and it's not like when you see internet videos of like, oh, that's a crazy person. That's like a maladjusted crazy person. We talked to Tank Sinatra on KFC Radio, who gets more video submissions and posts more memes than anybody. And he said a lot of times, a lot of the shit we're seeing from coronavirus is people who are mentally ill. And it's like, this isn't just a Karen. This is someone who's like bipolar and off her meds. But I do also think there are regular people who are losing their jobs or getting embarrassed on the internet because they have fucking meltdowns over pro or anti masks. And no matter what your stance is, it's really not that big of a deal one direction or the other. I've gone out and forgotten my mask before, and I just was like, fuck, I don't have one. I got all the way to the store. I got to run in and get milk for my kids. I'm just fucking doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people have looked at me and been like, what are you doing, you scumbag? And then there are times where I am wearing a mask and I see someone without one and I'm like, what are you doing, you scumbag? But never have I felt compelled to say something, do something, fight, or have a fucking rabid reaction. And I don't know. People have convinced themselves it's a constitutional right. People have convinced themselves it's some sort of infringement on freedom. People have convinced themselves it's like a weapon. I don't get it. I cannot wrap my mind around.
Do you think
this guttural reaction to masks?
Do you think now that people are losing stuff, like they're losing football, like Big Ten fans, Pac-12 fans are actually losing something? And it's like, look, now you can't, because I think that's what it all comes down to. It's like people are choosing, you know, immediate gratification. Like, I want to do this thing right now. I want to go to the bar. I want to go to happy hour. I want to go to a concert. And wherever that stuff is allowed, they're choosing it. And now it's like, well, if you really wanted football, you could have been part of like, let's get this done.
I know. I look at like figures where it's like, nobody in Japan is sick. And what does Japan do? They all wear their masks. So I'm like, okay, sounds good. I just also don't know if like, would masks really make that big of a difference? I don't know. It seems like they probably do. And in my mind, my whole thing has always been they can't hurt. Maybe you're a little uncomfortable, sack up. So you might as well wear it. But I also think to be so pro masks that you look at someone not wearing a mask like they're wielding a fucking gun, like they're injecting coronavirus in other people. It's like, yeah, it's not the most polite thing in the world. But like I said, there have been times where I'm like, ah, fuck, I don't have it. It's not that I'm like, I'm going to go infect your grandma. It's just, you know, I feel like the extreme reaction in either direction is so crazy that there has to be something going on. Like, in our brains or the way that society has just been building up to this moment, that this thing, this mask, is taking on a much greater, you know what I mean? It's not the mask.
It seems like it's uniquely American, though. Like, I don't see.
But that's what I mean. So, like, something about America. Yeah. Even more reinforcing my point. Something about American culture and the way we've been living for the past 50, 100, whatever years, 10 years, maybe. Maybe it's a small sample size. Maybe it's the way it's been for a century. Something is turning this piece of cloth into a symbol of something bigger than that. To the point that people are losing their fucking minds. Like, those kids got out of the store and were probably like, "Dad, what the hell was that?" You know, like, what is going on? Or not. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm looking into it too much. But I've been watching the internet for a long time, and I've seen people react to shit and fight and whatever on camera. And I just can't understand how they're doing what they're doing, losing their jobs, risking their reputations, embarrassing themselves in front of families. Like, it's too much for me to understand. I can't wrap my mind around it. It's a level of, I guess, selfishness where you want that immediate gratification so bad that you'll get those Roman swipes out, wipe them on your dick, and make sure that you get your fuck on. I have been listening to Wet Ass Pussy, and, you know, girls are out here these days with a new sense of just, I mean, Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B, they are sexual hunters. You know what I mean? Like, they will hunt you down. They will rip your dick clean off your body with their whap. And you got to be ready for that, man. You can't walk into a fucking gunfight with a knife. You can't walk into a WAP fight with just a plain old dick, okay? You need to have a dick reinforced with some Roman swipes, or that WAP is going to fucking – that fight's going to be over in 10 seconds maximum. First round knockout, Cardi B's pussy takes you and your lame dick down. Did you see Cardi B retweet me?
I said, yes.
I mean, listen, the macaroni in the pot, I know that was a Vine from many years ago. I know some rappers have talked about it. It's the most – disgusting but accurate comparison or metaphor ever. When you're stirring up that macaroni and it's making that noise, that's what it sounds like, man. Not Ben Shapiro's wife. No, not her. But everybody else who's gotten ever had some good pussy, that's what it sounds like. And if you got it going like that, if you got a girl who's in macaroni in a pot territory, you need the Roman swipes. Here's how it works. You open it up, science. You rub it on, right on your dick. It numbs up your dick just enough that you can take on a Cardi B or a Megan Thee Stallion. And you're going to last a little bit longer. You know, someone like Cardi or Megan, there's probably not even enough Roman swipes in the world for you to conquer them. But for the average girl, you'll be able to last, you know, several more minutes where you really can get the job done and you'll feel good about yourself. You'll enjoy sex much longer. And, you know, that type of confidence, it breeds confidence, you know? It's like we talked about with the internet. It's like every time you've gone and had some sex and it's only lasted like 30 seconds, that's when you get internet hate. And when you last long, that's when you get internet love. That's when you succeed on the internet. And if there was a cheat code to make sure that all your internet content did good or got a lot of views or lasted long, you would use it, right? That's what you got to use with your Roman swipes. It's a cheat code for your dick, and you can get it right now for just $5. When you get a monthly plan over at Roman, go to getroman.com/mailtime. I suggest you get yourself some pills for your hair. You can also get ED pills. You can get all sorts of men's health prescriptions and shipments each month. And when you sign up for one of those monthly plans, you also get the Roman swipes for just $5. So for a five spot, you're going to have some good, solid, long lasting sex. And you too can make that pussy a wet ass pussy. A wet ass P word, as Ben Shapiro would say. I can't imagine being a grown man saying P word. That's too funny.
You don't know, you haven't heard Shapiro at all? Like, did you listen to him on Rogan?
I know his name, and I listened to him on Rogan right before I did 1 Minute Man, just to get a somewhat of a vibe for him. his voice is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've also heard Joey Molinaro do an impression of him. And that, I mean, that is like his like eyebrows and his voice are just like, it's almost like he is creating. If you were to create in a lab, someone who's going to like stir the pot and like, I respect Ben Shapiro because he kind of does like what I do, just in a much more cerebral, political, mm-hmm. like, educational way, where it's just like, that dude is very well-read. He knows his facts. He's spitting. The one part I did hear about him on Rogan, which I liked, he was like, I'm an Orthodox Jew who's conservative, and I've lived in L.A. Then I lived in Cambridge when I went to Harvard, and now I'm back in L.A. He's like, I've been behind enemy lines my entire mm-hmm. life. So he's like, I don't even know what it's like to get like to have all my opinions be like well received, which is now that's not true. Because now once you're on the internet, you find your lane, you find mm-hmm. your different people. But in a much more like white boy, bro, barstool way, like I've always my teams have always been the losers. And I was a Mets fan in the Bronx, and I'm a Jets fan at Barstool with the Patriots. So like in my own sports and pop culture way, I've always kind of been the one like, you know, where the crowd's against me. He does it in a very like political way, right? He's all politics and social.
Yeah, he's all politics. I mean, you can't deny he's smart. Like he reads up on stuff. The thing is, I think he does have an agenda on a lot of issues, and he's certainly right-leaning. And if you're not to the right, you're going to, you know, find a bunch of things wrong with what he says. But, you know, we're clearly Rogan stans, but I see why he has him on there, because he will bring up and articulate some valid points. Sometimes there are things that I like disagree with him on that I'm like, this sounds to me like you're just manipulating the science and the facts to fit your what you want to be right. But you know, if you want to make progress, you have to listen to some of the voices on the other side. I'm not sure. There are definitely things you could pull, like quotes you could pull from Ben Shapiro, and I'd be like, I categorically do not agree with this whatsoever. But that's like the point of this. You have to listen to some of the things and say, I agree with some of the things this guy says, and I don't agree with all of them. We don't all have to agree on every single right. point.
The bit I heard was that about being like behind enemy lines. And then he was like, you know, I am religious. That's also tough when it's like someone is an Orthodox Jewish person who like really believes in religion. It's like there's going to be points in our debate where we just have to stop. Because you believe right. in...
Yeah, he's like, I would not, like, I absolutely cannot partake in a celebration of homophobia. Like, right. anything that celebrates yeah. gay people, I cannot be a part of that. And I'm like...
Homophobia or homosexuality?
What's that?
You said homophobia. Do you mean homosexuality?
Yes.
I also heard him say the other side of it, where he was like, you know, I don't like what Alex Jones says. I don't like hate speech. I don't like white supremacy, which is mm-hmm. crazy to get to qualify those things, but you kind of do these days. But like, yeah, he's going to be like my religion is like, what was the line he had? The bit I heard was, I personally and categorically disagree with it. I think it's for a man and a woman, but I don't think the government should be involved in it at all with laws. All right. You know, that's
right. Like, and then it's like, oh, all right. Like right. we're actually making progress. You right. know,
it's like, I disagree, but I also can find some common ground. We're never going to like, eventually he said something. He said like, you know, he was talking about how rational his takes can be with religion. And he's
I mean, his big thing is
on some point he admitted, though, he's like, some point religion is always going to be irrational. It's not rooted in rationality. Right. So like, to me, it's like, yeah, we're going to have an argument and eventually you're going to base something on what I believe to be a total fictional story.
Right.
And so we're just going to.
Well, his famous thing is facts don't care about your feelings. And then he's like, but I am like devoutly religious. So, but you know, but that's like, we can accept that too. You can be like, it's all right. You know, like you can be that. Not everything has to like perfectly align, and you're not necessarily a hypocrite because you believe like two things that really are somewhat disconnected.
But I also like the thing with, I actually guess I really didn't watch the whole video, but people were like, you missed like the point of his video and you missed the humor in it. Like, was he joking? I mean, I took that to be a guy who was like, maybe not offended by it, but he is like super uncomfortable with women talking about fucking and their pussy. And that's what I find to be funny. I don't think like when Ben Shapiro said, like when he said, my wife said that they have like a medical problem. Like, I think he was, you know, if you needed a, a mop, if your pussy was pouring out, yes, you would have a problem. I think he's smart enough to know the difference between, you know, an aroused vagina and a pocket situation. I get it. But I'm saying, when you listen to WAP, if your first reaction is like, I need to make a video about like how intense this is versus being like, yo, those are some bad bitches who like to talk about fucking. That's where I'm saying, like, we're just different personalities there.
Well, right. But I do think that there were people who were, some people went over the top and said, like, this is the pinnacle of feminism. We finally made it. This is, these women are an inspiration to all. And then, so then the course correction on that is to be like, the vulgar, disgusting, this is what women should be aspiring to. Yeah. And then there's regular people in the middle who are like, men have been able to talk about how big their dicks are for forever. So now the women that are killing the game are going to flip it on everybody. And like, to be offended by that. And yeah, you know, like, everybody has to take their own responsibilities. That's something I'm going to like teach my daughter. Like,
right.
Like, no, but if she hears it, or she hears like what's probably going to be far more extreme, you know, 10, 15 years from now, I'll have to like deal with it. It's just like how our parents had to deal with us listening to Tupac.
I wonder, like, I've always thought this about, I've always found it interesting with rappers and their wives, where it's like, you know, you liked Kanye because he was like rapping about his dick and fucking hoes and shit. And then you married him, Kim Kardashian. And now what? Now, like, how does that work? You know, like, my new single's out and it's like, you know, you're still kind of talking about fucking groupies and shit like that.
Right.
And I think it's one of those things where, you know, you don't hope for it with, I guess marriage is different. More so when people are like, you know, would you want that for your children? And it's like, no. Like, if when we used to talk about smoke shows, it was like, would you really want your daughter being like a local smoke show of the day? Like, probably not. No. If I ever got to a point, though, if my daughter was like a model and like had a career because of it and shit, I'd be like, yeah, listen, like, the guy in me and the protective father in me doesn't want this.
Yeah, but there'd be no models if every single man in the world was like objecting to it.
Exactly. And it's like, I wish it was a different career path, but I'm also recognizing that like she looks a certain way and that is going to give her, open up doors for her and blah, blah, blah. And let's do it in a safe and respectful way, all that shit. And that's why, you know, with smoke shows, we always ask permission. We always like would take it down if you wanted to. We did it in a fun and like not a like predatory way. And so, yeah, listen, is it like what I would script? No. But if my kid became a rapper and, you know, was he talking about his dick, I'd be like, you know, this isn't great. Until all of a sudden if he goes platinum, I'd be like, same thing with me. It's like, you know, do you think our parents want me talking about like anal sex on the radio and shit? No, but no. They're also like, I don't know, he's, you know, maybe more money than, you know, we ever thought, and he's going to be able to provide and he's happy. So fuck it. You know, right. It's like, life is not, you can't predict life. You can't like script it and you can't decide. So as long as it like falls within some sort of parameters of like, all right, this is good. This is good enough. I guess the title here is like more good than bad. That's really like what everything in life is about. When you can measure it as whether it's hate on the internet or success in life or whatever it is there more good than bad? Then you roll with it and you do it.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.